Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. Today, in this wonderful, wonderful week of celebration, there's actually 50 days of celebration up to Pentecost, but the church calls this week Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday. Today is Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday, Easter Saturday, until we come to Divine Mercy Sunday. It's a particular expression of celebrating the first octave from Easter, but we really do celebrate 50 days, and it would behoove us to take a look at that in our families, in our acquaintances, our friends. How do we celebrate over 50 days? What could we do? Could there be a special meal once a week where we purposefully give thanks to God for what He has done for us? Could it be a time where we petition God, asking for greater faith and deeper faith, to believe in Him, to believe His word, to believe in the power of the resurrection? That power is going to affect us very personally when we die. How much hope is in us because of what Christ won for us upon the cross? We really need to think about these things, and then to think about how do we express them in our personal lives, in the life of our family, among our friends. How do we express both the gratitude and the petition for ever-deepening faith? Let's take a look now at the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. This is right after Pentecost. Peter and John were going to the temple area for the 3 o'clock hour of prayer. And a man, crippled from birth, was carried and placed at the gate of the temple called the Beautiful Gate every day to beg for alms from the people who entered the temple. When he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked for alms. But Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." What was that? It was an inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Pay attention here. There's something I want you to see. It's not audible, but a very strong conviction. It takes the power and the graces of the Holy Spirit. It takes your baptism and your confirmation being activated. It is a work of the Holy Spirit. And insofar as we're willing to cooperate, He can work through us. Peter looked intently at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." He paid attention to them, expecting to receive something from them. And Peter said, "I have neither silver nor gold. What I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise and walk." Can you imagine? All the noise, all the activity, they're going into the temple area, lots of people going back and forth, probably somewhat noisy, people going around them, people bumping into them. You know how it is when you stop in the middle of a crowd until people get the idea, they plow into you sometimes. So it was a rather confusing scene. And this man, not knowing to whom he is speaking, this man asked Peter and John if they would give him alms. And Peter says to him, "I have neither silver nor gold." In other words, I don't have the earthly treasures you're looking for. But then he goes on to say, "But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, rise and walk." Notice he doesn't say it in his own name. He doesn't put himself forward at all. It's the name of Jesus that is honored. And Jesus responds, "Then Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles grew strong." Look at the faith Peter must have had in that moment. Where does that come from? The one who denied Christ, the one who was frightened, the one who wanted to run. Peter took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and his ankles grew strong. He leaped up, he stood, and walked around, and went into the temple with them, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the one who used to sit begging at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with amazement and astonishment at what had happened to him. And now they've got to preach. Now they've got to teach the people. Where do those gifts and graces come from? Uneducated fishermen. Look what God did. Brothers and sisters, we don't need so much that, although, you know, if God wanted to give us a miracle, we'll take it. What we need is deeper faith. That's what happened to Peter through the death and the resurrection of Christ. He went from a frightened man into a courageous man. And it came because he believed in the Son of God. He believed he was who he said he was and is. Do you believe? Jesus Christ is as real today as he was in this situation when Peter called upon him. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say to you, arise and walk. You can't do that just testing God. I'm going to say the words and see what happens. No, it has to come out of faith and a listening to God of what he wants you to do and when he wants you to do it and where he wants you to do it. It takes learning how to listen to God, which means you've got to be deeply embedded in the Word, reading the Word daily, allowing your own personal life to be conformed to the truths of the gospel. Then you're in a position where you can hear. It's not magic. It's a relationship. Remember that. It's a relationship. How strong is your relationship? Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Absolutely. Psalm 105, read it, pray it. Rejoice, O hearts that seek the Lord. Now we have today the Gospel of Luke 24, 13 to 35. This is a long gospel. And I'm going to do it both today and tomorrow. So I'll stop where I have to stop here and we'll pick it up tomorrow because the same gospel, another portion of that gospel is given tomorrow. This is the story, as we know, that two disciples are leaving. They're going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus, and they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. But their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" It's almost like a teacher. "Tell me what you're talking about." And they stopped, looking downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" He's drawing them out. It's Jesus, but they don't recognize him. Their faith is not strong. And they said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. We were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it's now the third day since this took place. So it's impossible with God." Brothers and sisters, with God, all things are possible. Put your faith in him, not in yourself. Some women from our group, however, astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and did not find his body. They came back and reported that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. And then some of those with us went to the tomb and found things just as the women had described, but him they did not see. They're perplexed. They're telling this so-called stranger. And he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all that the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And then being with Moses and all the prophets, wouldn't you like to have had Jesus himself to teach you the scriptures? He interpreted to them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on farther. You know, giving them a chance. Do they want him? Do they believe him? Are they willing to listen to him more? Jesus does not force himself upon any of us. He gave the impression that he was going on farther, but they urged him, thank God, stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over. Why did they say that? Because he was giving them hope. He was opening up their hearts and their minds, they who had just endured the horrible death of Christ, the darkness on the land. And now here is somebody speaking words that bring them hope and faith. And so he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. And with that, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. Brothers, sisters, do you see the centrality of the Eucharist? If we feed on the body and blood of Jesus Christ, we receive it with faith. Don't receive it just as, go up there and get the host and drink from the chalice and, now I have to get to this or I have to do that. Do I receive with faith? Do I consume the body and blood of Jesus Christ with true faith? Brothers and sisters, we need it, and we need it more than ever. We always need it. But we need it more than ever today. Don't just mouth the words. What do you believe? But when he said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them, their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. And then they said to each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he spoke to us on the way and opened the scriptures to us? In other words, we came alive listening to him. We believed him. So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them who were saying, the Lord has truly been raised. He's appeared to Simon. And then the two recounted what had taken place on the way and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Brothers and sisters, it's the Eucharist and the Scripture that will open our minds and our hearts. God does not leave us orphan. He speaks to us. But we are so busy about so much that we enter into the miracle of the Mass and our minds are on other things and we don't really participate. Or we pick up the scripture to read it, but we're so distracted we don't really take it in. When you read the scriptures, do you kiss the Bible beforehand? Do you say to the Lord, help me to take this living word into my mind and heart. Let it nourish me and bear fruit for the sake of the kingdom. Do I acknowledge? It's important to acknowledge by word and gesture. Do I really believe? These are two of the ways in which God communicates himself, the Eucharist especially. But the scriptures, he tells us, are living. They're his truth. They're living truth. They're Jesus. Receive, brothers and sisters, receive all that God has for us. God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.